There are some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a large unexpected inheritance. An always-on-the-verge-of-death phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone, up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard, so you can get a new one. Just trade in any phone from our top brands on any unlimited plan. With new line on my plan. Additional terms apply for trade-in and pay off your phone offer. See Verizon.com for details.
This is the Berman Project. Hey, it's JD here, back at it for another week of opening my ears and heart to the words and musings of the late David Berman as we go through his catalog, one song at a time, week over week, to better understand where this guy was coming from, so that we can better understand where he went. I hope you're doing all right. I am most excellent right now. I lifted my little moratorium on pot, and I'm in a really good place. I go for a walk every Friday with a friend of mine from kindergarten, believe it or not. We reconnected probably 2 years ago, and I went through all high school with him, was a good buddy. We had a hell of a time, but when high school was over, everything sort of drifted, and he ended up becoming a minister, a pastor. In fact, he did my father's funeral and would have done my mother's funeral had he not left the church, broken down with a pill addiction and a booze addiction that has eviscerated his liver to the extent that, he's on meds for that. Lived on the street for a short time. So he's had a real, real go of things. And I went for a drink with him one night, and he had a drink. And it made me feel really awkward the whole time that he was drinking, that I had went, that I had not went out of my way to circumvent this this situation from happening. Like, why did I set it up that we were meeting at a pub rather than a cafe or something like that? And I talked to him about it once, and he said, he can't live in a world where there's, a punitive sort of vibe going on around these foibles that we have. Being an alcoholic is a real serious foible. He's not concerned about having a drink because he knows he's beaten alcoholism. Now, some of you may be rolling your eyes because, there are other schools of thought where, it's if you're an alcoholic, one sip and that's it, you're off the train. But that, I think, is more of a sobriety thing. And sobriety isn't something that Matt talks about. But he's not, you know, getting drunk. He's not living on the streets anymore. He's such a fascinating person to talk to and to walk with. And I'm so grateful that he came back into my life. And this is where the story began, is that I smoked some pot. I can say that I am still cutting way back, but I'm trying not to be punitive about, you know, this. I don't want this to be something that derails me and sends me spiraling into a situation where I might use this to medicate that situation or to, you know, to numb it, as it were, which I've done. I now know that I've done that. And that's, you know, real frightening. And I can only imagine the battles that David Berman had, because here we're not talking about liquor and marijuana. But, you know, he did in his later days smoke a lot of grass, from what I understand. But when he was admitted to a rehab facility, that was for like crack and end of sentence, full stop. There's other drugs. There's heroin, I believe, is in there as well. And probably pills. I mean, this is a guy who was singing about smoking the gel off a fentanyl pack, years before I ever heard of that occurring in a story I read. So maybe I'm naive, I don't know. But this man battled some serious demons, I guess, right? Demons. You know, there's no better way to say it. And he left behind a lot of words and beautiful words. And he left behind some wonderful music. And what we're going to enjoy today is a song called The Walnut Falcon, which incidentally was one of the names that was floated around for, you know, what ultimately became Silver Jews. Yeah, it could have been the Walnut Falcons, right? So this was clearly something that David had in his mind. And when you listen to this song, you know, it's much different than Canada, which we heard last week. This song also comes from the EP Dime Map of the Reef, but I'm sharing it to you from the Early Times compilation by Drag City, the Drag City put together. It consists of the records. It's like Westing. It's like Westing in that it consists of the independently released collections, EPs in this case, that were released prior to signing with Drag City or, you know, being released on Drag City. I can tell you that those three are... The three of them are Dime Map of the Reef, which is what we're talking about in this case, and then the Arizona record. And is that it? Dime Map of the Reef and the Arizona record. Yeah, that's actually it. Oh, no, Silver Jews and Nico. There's Silver Jews and Nico, which is a single that came out in 93. That's where we're listening to this track from. I don't quite have the means to, you know, track down all that old stuff. It would be cool to have in the collection at some point, but I don't have it right now. So we are going to listen to it from Silver Jews, the early years. Came out in 2012. And I don't know. I think this is a lot different than what we listened to last week. We listened to Canada. And this is a song to me that reminds me more of primordial David Berman. There is something to this that feels, you know, Berman-esque. And that makes sense. I mean, he's part of it, along with Bob Nastanovich and Steve Malkmus. And there are other members. Bob tweeted out a couple weeks ago another member of the Silver Jews. And I forget, I say the Silver Jews, but it's Silver Jews. But I forget who that person was now. So you check out Bob's Instagram. Pardon me, Bob's Twitter, which is, you know, a fantastic Twitter to follow regardless. Anyway, let's give this track a listen. This is The Walnut Falcon on The Berman Project. All right. That was The Walnut Falcon by an early, like I said before, primordial version of the band. What do you think? To me, I think back to my days doing comedy and I think about improv. And, you know, when you have a couple people on stage that both have different agendas, it's tough to make a good scene. And I think there are a lot of elements in this song that are really fucking great. Like that ending, dream about you, dream about you, dream away. I like it's that first bit with David off the top that reminds me very much of what we're going to get later in the catalog. I would say that the first time we hear SM, I love what he does, but it's almost as though David's on a different, you know, different spot. Now, listen, this is a band that, you know, they weren't a band. They were working and they were blown off steam at the end of the day. I think their goal was to be a band. They weren't just fucking around, but this is early days, you know? I softened the end of this song because it's got a real hard click, and I did a fade out instead. It doesn't really fade out, but it instead has a really abrasive click that, you know, that probably comes from clicking the tape recorder or, you know, the four track that they were using. Yeah, it's a bit of a mess, but there are some wonderful things going on in that song. And, you know, are they indicators? I think we know the answer. You know, these guys that were doing this put out a great deal of wonderful work over the years that we've got to enjoy. And yeah, I would say there's some breadcrumbs in this one. So there's that. What are you thinking in terms of your mental wellness right now? Are you happy and you know it? Because if you are, I think maybe you should clap your hands. If you're sad and you know it, well, then you can stomp your feet. The problem is when you're happy or sad and you don't know it, and you don't know what's going on, you know, it's just, you're sort of in this dull, just blurginess, you know, and it's a scary place to be. It's languishing. It's just not satisfying at all. And that's, you know, that's shitty. It's a shitty way to live. So if you're feeling that way, reach out to somebody, talk to a friend. And this is an interesting message that when I was doing some volunteer work and I was, also in their comedy program, they had a stand-up comedy program for mentally ill people. And the point was we would use, you know, the stand-up to, you know, put I don't know, some context around what we were feeling or thinking, you know, maybe give it some shape, some form, some color. I don't know. But that's what it was. So when I was in that program, we talked a lot about, you know, talk to your strong friends. And that's always resonated with me. Talk to your strong friends because, you know, yes, there are people that we know out there that are, you know, dealing with addictions to various things as a coping mechanism, trying to work their way through mental wellness, mental illness, trying to work their way through their mental illness, you know, in whatever way they can. But then there's your friends that you perceive as being real strong and, you know, not buckling under any of the fucking litany of shit that is going on out in our world right now. You know, we have access to an unprecedented amount of news through, you know, all sorts of different devices and channels. And It's, you know, it's almost too much. It's almost too much to just know the kind of shit storm that we're living in right now and how precariously it is that we're balancing, you know? So check in with those that are strong as well. You never know what could come of that conversation. It could be something that is groundbreaking or even life-saving. So there's that. We continue our journey working through actual air with a poem called Classic Water. I remember Kitty saying we shared a deep longing for the consolation prize, laughing as we rinsed the stagecoach. I remember the night we camped out, and I heard her whisper, "Think of me as a place," from her sleeping bag, with the centaur print. I remember being in her father's basement workshop when we picked up an unknown man sobbing over the shortwave radio. And the night we got so high, we convinced ourselves that the road was a hologram projected by the headlight beams. I remember how she would always get everyone to vote on what we should do next, and the time she said, "All water is classic water," and shyly turned her face away. At volleyball games, her parents sat in the bleachers like ambassadors from Indiana in all their Midwestern schmaltz. She was destroyed when they were busted for operating a private judicial system within the U.S. borders. Sometimes I'm awakened in the night, in the middle of the night, by the clatter of a room service cart, and I think back on Kitty. Those summer evenings by the government lake, talking about the paradox of multiple Santas, or how it felt to have your heart broken, I still get a hollow feeling on Labor Day when the summer ends. And I remember how I would refer to her boyfriends as what's-his-face, which was wrong of me, and I'd like to apologize to those guys right now, wherever they are. No one deserves to be called what's-his-face. Boom. That is a fucking slap in the face. Like, in a wonderful way. Oh, boy. This is what I like about poetry, this poem. How do I be more specific about that? I like the layer of the main story that's going on, but we get other things sort of dropped in. But no, I guess that's not really even the case, because everything, every stanza is about her in some way, is about Kitty. They shared a deep longing for the consolation prize. What a fucking line. Like, put your pen down right then and just, you know, put your feet up. That's the day's work. That's, you're done. You're done for the week. You're waiting for your weekly goddamn, you're waiting for your annual bonus. And you write that line, you put your pen down, and you just keep waiting for your annual bonus. That's what you do. That's what you do when you write a line like that. God. Damn it. Think of me as a place. Oh, boy. Yeah. It feels very autobiographical. It feels very real, but, you know, this is somebody who is operating at a pretty high level here, and his job is to make it feel real. You know, the whole point of this is that you're reading this and you want to know more about this protagonist, and you know, does he ultimately find Kitty again? Like, you know, you just want to be left wondering and think about that and have it, you know, gnaw at you a little bit. I love the fact that he threw a curveball. The curveball being, to me, he remembers how he would call her boyfriend's what's-his-face, which was wrong of me, and I'd like to apologize. And in my head, I'm thinking he's going to apologize to Kitty, you know, for not acknowledging her boyfriends. But instead, he wants to apologize to all the guys because nobody deserves to be called what's-his-face. Like, it's funny. It's touching. It's Stand By Me. You know, it's the Wonder Years. But, like, you know, on a higher plane. Anyway, I think it's great. Pick up the book, Actual Air. You can get it from Drag City, I believe. Or is it Matador? Yeah. I'll have it for you next week. I'll get that. That'll be something that I work on. Okay. With that said, I'm looking for an outro catchphrase. I don't know what that should be, but I'll try and track it down. But in the interim, I'm going to go with wash your fucking hands. And be curious. Talk to you next time. The Berman Project is a production of Duvra Podcasts and Such. You can find out more about the show at www.thebermanproject.xyz. That's right. I'm fucking Canadian. I'm also social. Find me on Twitter, Instagram, and all the rest at Berman Project. Duvra Podcasts and Such.